be better if I used them than if I didn't. All right. While you're turning there to Judges, I'm going to read you something from the book of Isaiah in chapter 5. And if you know anything about the book of Isaiah chapter 5, you know that God is telling a story about his well-beloved and that how well he's taken care of those that he loves and how they have, instead of bringing forth good fruit, they've brought forth wild grapes. And that he's done everything for them that he could. He's give them protection. He's given them food to eat, shelter, all of these things, and yet they have rejected his care. And so because of that, he says, I will lay you waste. And we don't have to wonder what he's talking about, because in verse 7 it says the vineyard that he's speaking about in this story is the house of Israel. Now, let me read to you what he says about the house of Israel. Sorry, in verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Even what the righteous do, they're calling bad because they're all confused about what's good and what's evil. And verse 24 goes on, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And verse 25 is the result. Here's what God says. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And back where I told you to go in Judges chapter 17, I'll be right there. God has clearly defined in his holy Bible that which is holy and right, and contrasted them against that which is unholy and wrong. Even people today who claim to be saved and are Christians, they'll be doing something that, man, if you know even a little bit about your Bible, you'll know that God hates it, that it's an aberration, it's abhorrent to God, and yet they'll say, I love the Lord. This is unto the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. Baloney. Read your Bible. Know what God hates. You know God hates some things throughout the Bible. Yeah. You know, and man, I read that chapter because I wanted you to see what God said about those people's thinking. Then we're going to go back in the book of Judges, and we're going to give you a story that shows you how the people were, okay? But anyway, for those that say those kind of things, they don't know anything about the righteous nature of God and that he also hates iniquity. And can I tell you this? Because this is what the scripture says. You may not like it. I may not like it. But this is what the Bible says, that he also hates those that work it. Well, I thought God loved everybody. You ever had two emotions at the same time? I have. You think God is restricted to having one emotion at a time? Okay? In Psalm chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, the Holy Bible says this, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Do you notice that it did not say there, I hate the iniquity that people work? It said, I hate the workers of iniquity. That's what the Bible says. That might be a tough pill to swallow, especially in this modern day. But that's what the Bible says. At least in my holy Bible. Maybe you have a different one where all the words are changed. I hope not. Not in this church, right? Just because, now this kind of talks to us about the story, so I'm saying this for a reason now, so just keep it in your mind. Just because I build a house of worship, and I fill it with idols, and I put a costume on a person, and I call him Father, and I say, this is unto the Lord, and this house is unto the Lord, doesn't make it so. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22, we read this, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. And in Matthew 23, verse 8 and 11, concerning calling someone Father, Jesus records this, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. The Lord wants to encourage me and us tonight, and also warn us that we need to be careful to ascribe to him that which he loves, not that which he abhors. From the emergent church who gathers together to drink beer and have a Bible study, and you say, surely that wouldn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. Happens everywhere. There's a church I go by in Potterville who they advertise that they're having services sometimes at an alcoholic establishment, right on their sign. From the emergent church that gets together to drink beer and have a Bible study, to the Baptist church that hosts a Halloween costume party with kids dressed as witches and devils and werewolves and vampires and every sort of foul creature under Satan's employ, God screams out, that is not unto me. I hate that. Judges chapter 17, we get a view of people that think exactly that. And if we were to give a title to this message tonight, it says, ascribing to the Lord that which he abhors. What a horrible thing God must think when he looks down at people who say they're doing things that he abhors, and they're doing it in his name. How that must be. I mean, wouldn't you hate that? Amen. I mean, can you imagine somebody going out, and I'll pick on somebody, you know, who can I pick on? I'll pick on myself. You know, if somebody knew that I couldn't stand something and I was totally against something, but they went out and they started advertising, Luke Potter selling alcohol, beer, cigarettes, come get them, you know, get them at Shady Green Pastures Bible Camp. You know, don't you think that'd make me mad? Amen. How do you think God feels? How do you think God feels? We have this example of this family in Judges chapter 17. Now, as the Bible is laid out, this story comes right after all of the story of Samson. And yet, I don't know that it's chronological. This is just a story that happens in the period of the Judges. And of course, you'll remember in the time of the Judges, this comes after Canaan has been somewhat conquered and the people are moving into the land, the Israelites. They don't have a king. And what is the, over and over again in the book of Judges, we hear that phrase, and there was no king in Israel, and the people did that which was right in their own eyes. But you tell me this, were they so devoid of knowledge of their history? It hadn't been that long ago since they had stood before the mount that God was on. It had not been that long ago. I mean, it could have been, it is no longer than like from when our country was founded to now. I mean, a couple hundred, we don't know when this story exactly, the time of the Judges is what, roughly 400 years, something like that. I mean, these people have no excuse. I mean, I know they didn't have the internet and they couldn't, you know, look up in, you know, www.whatgodsays.com or something like that. But they had lots of knowledge and history of which to pull from. There's no excuse. This family is a mess. Let's read about this family. Just says simply in chapter 17, and there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, and spake of also in mine ears, behold, the silver's with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. So here she is. We have a mother walking around the house cursing because she can't find her money. And when her son says, I took it, she blesses the Lord. Woman, speak with forked tongue. Woman, speak with forked tongue. How sad. And of course, we might think of the scripture in James chapter 3 and verse 10 that says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things not ought to be so. But let's see what happens in verse 3. And when he, that is the son, had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, get this, remember the context of why I am sharing this story. Are we ascribing to the Lord things that the Lord abhors? And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. To do what? From my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it to thee. So you see what she wants to do? Her son stole her money. She's been cursing about it. She blesses the Lord because he fessed up to his crime. Now he wants to give it back to him in the name of the Lord to do what? To make an idol. To make an idol. I mean, had it been so long ago since God had told them, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You see then, the ascribing to God the very thing which God abhors, idolatry. How offended he must be. Now check out what the mother does. She says, okay, so the son says, no, I mean, I'll give it back to you. Yet he restored the money unto his mother. And look at what she does. His mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. Now, wait a minute. How much cash did she have? 1,100 shekels of silver. And what did she say? Even though it was abhorrent to God, she said, I've dedicated this money to the Lord through my son to make an image. Now, that was wrong, obviously, and God hated that. But you see what she did? She said, you know what? I think my commitment was just a little bit too much. Now that I got my cash back, she didn't even do half. You do the math, she gave 18%. 18% to make her idol. And of course, we can ask our own selves, how much are we holding back from God? And I'm not just talking about money either. It could be our time, our talents, our ability. So the story goes on. And they were in the house of Micah. So here we have the image setting up shop in the house. And the man Micah had in house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Oh, wait a minute. How many idols did his mother have made for him? Sounded like one. So we went from having one to having a whole house full of gods. Or maybe that was added to the house that already existed. I don't know. I mean, I kind of take it that eventually they ended up with a whole, so maybe she did use some more of the money. I don't know. But here they end up with a whole house full of gods. Not only do they have a house full of gods, but they have an ephod. They have a costume with which to dress someone up in. And they have a teraphim. Now, a teraphim is a specific type of idol or device. that is used not just to worship and to pray to, but to divine the future. It's like an oracle. So you got to have your gods to pray to, and then you got to have this special one with which you can tell what's going to happen. Because how much power can I have if I have people coming to me and asking me what's going to happen? I can have large control over people if they have to come to me to know what to do and what's going to happen. And then what also did he do? Well, he needs a priest. I need a place that's full of idols. I need a costume. I need someone to put the costume on, to call him a priest. And he chose one of his sons. Now, what tribe was a priest supposed to be from? And these people lived on Mount Ephraim. I'm presuming they were Ephraim, from the tribe of Ephraim. So, wrong God, wrong priest, wrong place, and yet it's all unto the Lord. And God says, you make me sick. You make me sick. And in verse 6, that familiar phrase that we talked about a bit ago is repeated. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So how does the story continue? There was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. And he sojourned there. So this man makes his way up to Micah's house, and the man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. He's looking for a place to live. That's not such a bad thing. Although I would ask, if he's a Levite, where is he supposed to be? Not on Mount Ephraim. So you see the disobedience of this man already. But he finds some other disobedient people to all get together and say, everything we're doing is unto the Lord. And it's not. Look what Micah tells him in verse 10. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me and be unto me a father. He thought the Bible was old-fashioned, that it wasn't up to date. But look at what it says. Dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Now get this. Verse 13, then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Wow. How many people today are professing Christians, but they're doing that which is right in their own eyes? And they're shunning counsel from godly people that have proved for decades their devotion and loyalty to God. The Bible calls you a foolish person if you're your own counselor, if you won't listen to instruction. Look at verse 10 again. Micah said unto him, dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest. An hireling priest cares nothing for truth or for the sheep. He is in it for the comfort and the money. Now Micah thinks he's all set. He has a house full of idols. He has his fortune-telling device. He has a costume to dress his priest in. And now he has someone of the right tribe to dress up and to call father. Certainly, we're enlightened in this day and age, and there wouldn't be anybody around building a house to the Lord, filling it full of idols, dressing people up, calling them priests and father. Certainly. We're more enlightened than that today. I hope you know who I'm referring to. The Bible's up to date. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all happened before.
Amen.
Ascribing to the Lord that which he abhors leads us to a severely misplaced concept of God's goodness and his supposed obligation to do me good. Look at verse 13 again. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. God does not overlook sin. He doesn't say it's okay, no worries. God will judge. The Bible does indicate in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. But he also says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge, in Hebrews 13:4. Also gives us an admonition as a church in 1 Corinthians, if we were to take the instruction that was given to that church, which was a mess. He says, but I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. Know not to eat. Well, that's harsh. I didn't say that. God did.
Amen.
Will you believe it? Will you live it? Or will you decide you know better? Will you decide you know better? And I'll take just a couple of minutes as we wrap up here. The story continues in chapter 18, but I'm not going to take time to read all of chapter 18, but here's what happens. So Micah's all set in his house. He's got his house of gods. He's got his costume to dress his priest up in. He's got his gods. He's got his divining item, his teraphim to tell the future. All of this he's set with, and he thinks he's doing really good and that God will do him good for all that he has set up. But along comes some people from the tribe of Dan who are seeking some place to live. And guess who they stumble across? They stumble across this house full of gods, idols, with a priest. And they think, wow, that's pretty good. And so they ask this priest, they say, and they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace, before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. Can I tell you, if you come across a house that's supposedly dedicated to the Lord, that's full of idols with a priest in it in a costume who people call father, can I tell you, don't ask them for counsel? Don't ask them for counsel. That's what these Danites did. Well, these Danites go and they find out some land that belongs to the Zidonians, and they think, we've got 600 military men. We can take this place. We can take this place. But you know what they decide to do? They decide to go back and take all of Micah's stuff. Take his gods, take his teraphim, take his priest, and his costume. And they tell him this. And they said unto him, this is the Danites, hold thy peace. Because he says, what are you doing taking all this stuff? And they said, these are the Danites, hold thy peace, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, to be it to us, guess what? A father. Isn't that amazing? Two times these people from Israel want to call somebody father that's not their father. Amazing. And a priest, is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? And the priest said, oh no, the Lord is with me, and I know he wants me to stay here. This guy doesn't know one thing about the Lord or what he wants. He's a hireling priest that's so far from God, it's unimaginable. But you know what he said? His heart was glad. And he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image, and he went in the midst of the people. He said, wow, I got a bigger congregation, and I got more money and more benefits. Away I go. So he went with the Danites, and of course, poor Micah, he catches up to these people. What's he going to do against a force of 600? And he says, what are you doing taking all my stuff? And they just said, it's too bad. Verse 24, and he said, ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and ye are gone away, and what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me? What aileth thee? And the children of Dan said unto him, let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. They said, let me steal your stuff, or we'll kill you. That's the Luke Potter translation of that. And so they did, and they went to a place called Lachish, and they killed all the people that were there, and they named the city Dan. And the Danites were idol worshipers until the day God took them out of Israel and cast them into Babylon. But they said, this is all to the Lord. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? And if we look at verse 30 and 31 in chapter 18 to close, and the children of Dan set up a graven image. Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they didn't even keep Levites for their priests. They went to another tribe. They didn't care. And they set up Micah's graven image, which he made. Now look at this phrase. All the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. Was there a place they should have been worshiping God? Was there a method that God had described for them to follow to worship him? There certainly was. But they said, you know what? We'll do things our own way. We'll do whatever we please, and you're not going to tell us different. And we're going to say it's unto the Lord. And that's how we're going to live. You know God will let you do that for a season. God will let you do that for a season. And what I've challenged myself with and what I challenge you tonight with is, I don't expect any of you to go home and make an idol and dress up your husband in a costume and call him father. Nothing like that. But are there things in our life that we're doing, that we're participating in, that if you were honest with yourself, I was honest with myself, God abhors it, and yet somehow, some way, we're convincing ourselves that God's okay with it, that God's okay with it. He is a righteous and holy God.
Amen.
This church won't go where it's supposed to unless we have that mindset. Unless we have that mindset. Let's pray and then we'll break up for prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this challenge from your word. Lord, help us to know what you abhor, what you love, and help us to do those things which please you always. Guide us now in our prayer time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.